Mormonism 101, a book by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson, has helped many who want to understand what separates Mormonism from the Christian faith. Mormonism 101 is available at your favorite Christian bookstore or online at mrm.org. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. But we are very pleased to have with us today a good friend of ours, Sandra Tanner. She and her husband founded the Utah Lighthouse Ministry in Salt Lake City. And let me begin, Sandra, by not only welcoming you to the show, but let me just say that out of all the people that are engaged in ministry to the Mormons, I think I not only speak for myself, but probably for everyone. All of us owe you and Gerald an incredible debt of gratitude for all the research that you did. I just tell you, I was looking at my old edition of Mormonism, Shadow or Reality. The sides of the pages are all brown from turning them so often in my early years of studying Mormonism. I devoured that book. I have it highlighted. Now, as you no doubt, no. It was very difficult to read with the typesetting back then, but it had so much information in it that helped me get a good understanding of this topic. And I think all of us are indebted to you and Gerald for all that you did in opening many of our eyes to the dangers of Mormonism and, sadly, the dangers that affect those members who are trusting in Mormonism. So give us a little bit of your background. And what I mean by that is, why should a person see you and your background as having any kind of importance when it comes to the subject of Mormonism?
Well, Gerald and I were both born and raised in Mormonism, both from fifth generation Mormon families. And for myself, when I was a young person growing up, my heritage from a direct descendant of being from Brigham Young was a factor in helping to cement me into Mormonism. As a young person, clear up till when I was about 12 or 13, my great-grandmother Young was still alive. She was the last living plural wife of Brigham Young Jr., the son of Brigham Young. Brigham Young Jr. was an apostle who lived polygamy before the Mormons supposedly gave up polygamy in 1890, although Brigham Young Jr. took plural wives after that time, like many other church leaders. Anyways, his wife, the last living plural wife, was still alive when I was a young girl. And so my heritage growing up was always pointing to the glory of my ancestors who came across the plains and sacrificed everything to come to Utah to live for God outside of the rule of the United States, where they could practice their religion as they saw fit. I took Mormonism seriously as a young person, baptized at 8, and high school was going to the Mormon seminary, which is their off-campus high school religious education. Graduated from seminary, went to Institute of Religion, their off-campus college training. But in the process of that, my mother started to have questions about Mormonism, and she raised those questions to me. At first, I just thought she was too particular, just cranky, and as any teenager, not paying attention to what their parents have to say, I just thought she was, as in Mormonism, they would say, a contentious spirit. And she was reading all of the early Mormon documents to try to figure out how Mormonism had changed through the years. So that set me up so that when I got in, by the time I got to college, I had some questions about Mormonism's truth claims. I hadn't personally tried to look into them yet, but then through God's providence, I met Gerald, my future husband, and he was also transitioning out of Mormonism. Well, I wasn't transitioning out at that point. I just had had all these questions my mom had given me. And then Gerald started sharing me with his questions that were taking him out of Mormonism. So the childhood training and pride of Mormon heritage was very strong, and I was proud to be a Mormon. I would have defended my faith, but then Gerald started raising questions to me. It made me take another look, and as I investigated the early claims of Mormonism, I saw it had been so changed that it doesn't teach the same today as it did when it very first started in 1830.
Now, you weren't raised in Utah, were you?
No, I was born here in Salt Lake City, but I was raised in Southern California.
Okay, now Gerald was born in Provo, correct?
Right.
Was he raised in Utah?
Mostly. His family spent some time in Wyoming, but mostly in Utah, yes.
So how did you meet?
Well, when I lived in Southern California with my family, my Grandma Young would come down different times to spend some time visiting around some of her kids that lived in Southern California. My grandma had 9 kids. 8 were living at the time I was a teenager. And half lived in California and half in Salt Lake. And so she would come to California and spend time with different members of the family. So when she was visiting at our place for a couple of months, she felt it was time to go back home. And she asked me if I would come back on the bus with her to help her as she traveled back to Salt Lake. And when we got back to her house, she was going through her mail that had accumulated while she was gone and found a little postcard inviting her to a meeting. And since she didn't drive, and I did, and I was using my uncle's car, she asked me if I would take her across town to this meeting. I tried to get her to explain to me what kind of meeting it was, that she was being very cagey, and I couldn't figure out what kind of meeting we were going to, but I finally just figured, okay, it's just a bunch of old fogies, and she doesn't want to tell me that it's just going to be old people, and so that's why she's being evasive about what we're going to. I finally decided I'd take her anyway, so we drove across town, and I walk up to this front door, and I knock, and this really nice-looking young man answers the door, and his name was Gerald Tanner. And I immediately got interested in the meeting. So here's Gerald having this little meeting in his folks' basement. The dad was at work. His mom had taken his sisters out to another Mormon's house for the evening so they wouldn't be contaminated with Gerald's apostasy or hear any of it. And so here's Gerald trying to persuade us all that we needed to scrap everything in Mormonism except the Bible and Book of Mormon and just follow Jesus and forget all the rest of this stuff. And he played a tape of some people in Independence, Missouri that had left the reorganized LDS church and were then just following the Bible and Book of Mormon. Well, some of the things that were brought up in the meeting were things that my mom had said to me, but after all, I was a teenager, and my mother didn't know anything, so I hadn't paid a whole lot of attention to her problems with Mormonism. But, of course, when a cute young guy starts saying the same things, I started listening to what he was saying. So the fact that he was cute, I mean, the whole history of my life could have been different if this had been some old guy saying the same stuff. I mean, I have to say, this was not my great spiritual quest. So I asked him to come over to my grandma's and tell me more about what he was talking about. And Gerald was so excited to finally have someone listen to him. And bless his heart, he comes over with all these books and trying to show me that early Mormonism was different than current Mormonism and everything had been changed. And I needed to throw all that out and just go back to the Bible and Book of Mormon. Well, we just talked religion, and I thought, oh my goodness, I must be slipping. I was expecting we would just spend some time as a guy and girl just getting to know each other. So I invited him back again, and we went through a whirlwind romance all centered around studying Mormonism and how it differed from Christianity.
Wow. That would remind me of, in today's culture, maybe you being interested in sports and saying, oh, let's watch the baseball game. But for you, it was religion. And it sounds like Gerald wasn't clued in on what you were trying to do.
You know, what's interesting about this, though, is you both, because of your heritage, had a lot to lose. I mean, yeah. You basically being a direct descendant of Brigham Young, you have Mormon royalty in your bloodlines, but Gerald also
yes.
is, his heritage goes back to the early years of Mormonism as well. He was what, the great-great-grandson of John Tanner,
yes.
who was one of the biggest financiers, you might say, of the Kirtland Temple. He became a convert to Mormonism from being a Baptist to a Mormon in, what, 1832. So through that line, being related to N. Eldon Tanner, who was yeah. a member of the First Presidency a while right. back, so you both have, like, Mormon royalty in your background. So there's a lot to lose here. There's a lot of heritage to set aside.
Yes, both our families have the great stories of sacrificing everything to come across the plains to Utah to escape the persecution for polygamy and to live for God out here under the banner of Mormonism.
Well, you mentioned polygamy because, of course, Brigham Young, the champion of polygamy. If anybody yeah. knows anything about Mormonism, they know Brigham Young and the polygamy issue. But it's the same with Gerald. I mean, yeah. John Tanner was a polygamist, had 22 children, I think, through his polygamous relationships. One of his children, I was doing a little bit of research on this, one of them was Louisa Maria Tanner, who married Amasa Lyman, a Mormon apostle. Now, why is that guy important? Well, he's the same guy that ended up marrying three of the Partridge sisters, Eliza, Caroline, and Lydia Partridge. And of course, you've got Eliza, who was a plural wife of Joseph Smith. So your connection is really quite impressive from a Mormon standpoint.
And for both of us coming from polygamist Mormon heritage, it gets into this funny thing of how many people are we related to? And I have people come into the bookstore, people that have left Mormonism, and we compare bloodlines, and we find we're 23rd cousins or whatever. I don't know what the numbers would be, but there's all kind of connectedness in Utah because of polygamy. We all are marrying our second cousins.
It's amazing because people will say, well, I'm related to Brigham Young, and I feel like saying, yeah, you and about half the state here that are, you know, generational Mormons could possibly be related.
Well, yeah, he had about 56 kids, and many of them practiced polygamy. And then you got the Tanners, they also were practicing polygamy. So it starts to really make a lot of relatives.
We've been talking to Sandra Tanner. She's the founder of Utah Lighthouse Ministry with her husband, Gerald Tanner, originally known as Modern Microfilm. And I want to talk about that in tomorrow's show because I want to get into what it was exactly that started raising a lot of those serious questions where you and Gerald finally had to cut your ties with Mormonism and started this incredible ministry that has affected so many people. So we hope that you'll tune into tomorrow's show when we once again take up our conversation with Sandra Tanner.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.